Hello, I'm Ann Shea, and it's time for you to Ask the Mayor. Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett is here to answer questions about city issues which concern you. The phone number to call to speak with Mayor Bennett is toll-free 877-285-9348. If you prefer, you may send an email to mayor@indiana.edu. Once again, the phone number is 877-285-9348, and the email is mayor@indiana.edu. Welcome, Mayor Bennett. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
Good, good. Well, let's just start off with this because I know it's probably on the top of your mind right now. Former Terre Haute Mayor Kevin Burke and you were in front of the Indiana Court of Appeals in Indianapolis yesterday. I want to give a little background for our listeners. Burke is challenging your eligibility to hold office because you worked for a company that received federal money. And according to him, that puts you in violation of the Indiana Hatch Act statute. So tell me how you thought things went yesterday in the Court of Appeals.
Well, I thought they went just fine. I mean, you know, it's kind of rare that they do oral arguments, but this is a fairly, you know, complicated scenario here. So I'm sure that, you know, getting their questions answered is extremely important on how they're going to rule on how the local court, you know, made their decision. And so, you know, when you sit and listen to everything, there are things that could use further explanation, and there's things that I think are more important than others, and I'm sure the other side feels the same way. But overall, I felt like there wasn't any new information per se, but it was all just kind of reaffirming and things that we have believed all along, that the Hatch Act did not apply to me. And you know, it's just we're at the mercy of the court now to interpret the law and make law and whatever else this turns into about the interpretation of the Hatch Act, the federal Hatch Act, as it applies to Indiana state law.
And what's the progression from here once they make the decision?
Well, of course, if they rule in my favor, then and hopefully that this will be the end of the process. But depending on the outcome and kind of what the opinions are and kind of the process that it takes, the next step could be the Indiana Supreme Court if either side would choose to, you know, take it to that next level.
Well, what will you do if the decision goes against you? Will you fight it?
Oh, absolutely. I won the election, I won the recount, and I won the contest of the election. And I still feel that all along I've never done anything illegal or wrong. And, it's just, I just would feel I would have to continue to fight. There'd be no other option.
Okay, great. Well, Mayor Bennett, we have a call from Denise right now.
Okay.
Hello, Mayor Bennett.
Yes.
Hi. I have, well, first I'd like to talk a little bit and then ask your opinion on something.
Okay.
Given the high cost of gas at the moment, I feel like it'd be a perfect time to move toward having more bike lanes in Terre Haute, bike lanes designed for transportation, not recreation. And in order to do that, I think inexpensively, we just need to have more bike lane, more streets designated as for bikes, with with the lines painted, etc. And also, I think as a person who lives kind of far out on the east side in the area that was last annexed, we have, as far as like riding a bike, the speeding is horrendous. And I live on Holman Street towards 46, and people routinely will go 20, 30 miles an hour over the speed limit. And frankly, I don't feel safe getting on my bike to get down to the bike lane on Holman Street.
Sure. Well, there's several different issues in there, and you know, kind of the first example, if you will, of having bike lanes on a street is Ohio Boulevard, and you know, the previous administration had implemented that, and you know, I get as many complaints about that as I do get positive things, which is very interesting, and I try to just weigh things out and look at it, you know, from reality, and I think we can do more of that. One, it's inexpensive to do that, but two, we need to kind of develop that longer-term plan about how we are going to connect people using those kinds of modes of transportation. We're having more people riding scooters and things like that, which is becoming an issue with us, too, because they're on the streets. Should they be on the streets? We're getting a lot of, you know, feedback about that kind of a thing. So more in the longer-range plan, I think that you'll see more of those, but I wouldn't expect an overabundance of them. I mean, from my perspective, you're not going to see a lot of them, but there'll be some routes that you can follow. You may have to go a few blocks over or whatever. We won't be able to do them everywhere, but once again, being inexpensive is an important piece of this, and giving people a place to safely ride their bike is very important to me. And we are going to be putting in a few more recreational-type trails, which really kind of serves about three purposes there with runners and walkers and bicycle riders if they use them properly. We are moving ahead with some projects related to that that will be happening this year. So I think you'll see some progress of that. It may not be at the level you're looking for, but we will be moving forward with those kinds of things.
Okay. Is there anything that you can do to address speeding so that,
yes,
you know, we feel safer,
sure,
going out on the roads without bike lanes?
Knowing now where you're talking about specifically, we can target that area. And, you know, when we come in and we can target it and write some tickets, the word will get out, and then we'll have to come back and do that again because people kind of adapt to the situations. But I will inform our traffic department when I get back in the office. I'll send an email to them and ask that to be a targeted area, and
okay,
we'll slow folks down.
All right. Okay. Okay. Is there anything that we can do for, like, public education on bicycle safety?
Well, yeah, we're in contact with a couple of different groups in town that do a lot of bicycling, and I think they're a good ally about helping us get that word out. If you could call my office, we could probably work on some things like that. I don't have anything right now that I can say, here's what we're doing about that, but we have lots of opportunities, and we can include that and focus on that. And we've been talking to the bike groups about those kinds of things. We just don't have a firm plan that we're rolling out yet. We're trying to figure out how to get, because what I'm running into is no matter what the topic is, we can go on TV and put it in the paper, and only a fraction of the community really is getting the word. So we've got to find some different methodologies to get things in that education out to the public.
Right, right. Well, I'm glad that it's on your plate, and I hope you'll continue to give it, attention.
Sure. Right. Well, contact my office, and we'll keep you updated on those things.
All right.
Thank you so much,
mm-hmm,
Denise. And
if anybody
else has any questions, they can call 877-285-9348 or email mayor@indiana.edu. Going back, Mayor Bennett, to the Court of Appeals yesterday, one more question. How do you think all of this has really affected your days in office so far, this whole issue?
Well, you know, once we got through that initial court hearing, or the local court, if you will, and kind of the outcome of that in December, you know, my entire focus was on getting ready to run the city, and that's what we've done every day. I mean, we haven't had to go dig up any new information. My attorneys have done a great job. I've got a team of attorneys locally here and in Indianapolis and in Washington, D.C., that are all helping with this process and collecting information. You know, I haven't really had to do anything other than just be a part of the process. So, you know, 100% or 99.9% of my time is spent on, you know, taking care of the taxpayer dollars and just doing those things that we need to do to move our community forward.
Okay. And one of the judges I saw asked both of the attorneys why this wasn't investigated so much before the election. What did you think about that particular question?
Well, I mean, I think that's a legitimate question, but there's so many candidates or so many people serving in office now that the Hatch Act might apply to. I mean, I know people right here in our own community that it might affect if somebody would have raised an issue. And we had talked to our attorney. We had done a lot of research. You know, it's kind of misleading about how that process has worked. I'll just put it that way. But, you know, we dug into it, and it did not apply to me. We still believe today it doesn't apply to me. I have a very minimal thing. Over 10 years, I signed a couple of pieces of paper and a couple of contracts that included a couple of locations, like to shovel snow off sidewalks and things like that. I never handled the money. I never authorized any payments. It was all just internal control things that I do in my normal job to make sure that nobody in our system is doing something wrong and they're following process and procedure. And, you know, it's just a very, very remote connection.
Okay. Well, we have another caller. Bob is on the line. Bob? Okay. Go ahead, Bob. All right. I guess that he did. There he is now. Bob, can you have a question for Mayor Bennett?
Yes. I'm wondering, Mayor Bennett, about the signage and the painting of lines and stripes at various intersections. One, for example, would be Brown and Poplar. There's no indication, really. Sometimes some people think that if they're in the left-hand lane, they also go straight. But there are some people who go in the right-hand lane and get a little bit antsy and go straight. And you could have a scenario there where you have an accident. And I just wondered if this occurs around town. This is just one example.
Right.
Of painting lines and spaces on the streets.
Well, that's an important thing. I mean, and, you know, I don't believe there's ever been anything painted there. You know, I drive through that intersection every day, and I don't think it's ever been painted, and that's probably one of the reasons why it may not be on the radar screen. Now that you brought that up, it makes it very simple for us to look at that intersection. Mm-hmm. But we have a crew. We've got some new equipment that we can do our own painting. In the past, we had to hire an outside contractor to do some of that. But we can actually do some of that painting. And we also have a crew that just goes around town every day identifying things just like this. We're looking for street lights out, stoplights out, yes. trees hanging in front of signs, the painting on the roads. And as we identify those, we've just been so caught up with storm damage and flooding and those kind of things, we're a little bit behind on where I'd like to be on the normal routine maintenance kind of things. Yes. But I just talked with the transportation director today. We're doing some stuff a little differently beginning next week that'll help us attack those. I'll put that one specifically on the list to be reviewed by engineering and find out what painting we need yes. to do there.
Yes. Well, I was really concerned about the one at Poplar and Brown because I have been involved in witnessing a near accident and also being in an accident because mm-hmm. of the hesitation on the part of a person turning left or whatever. Mm-hmm. And people getting antsy.
You're absolutely right. I've done the same thing.
it's really a safety factor, and something could happen. So I just thought I'd call and give my opinions about it.
We will take a specific look at that one and see what we can do to improve the safety there.
Okay. Thanks very much.
Thanks for the call.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Bob. And now we have another caller. Peter is on the line with a question. Mayor Bennett.
Yes. Hi, Mayor Bennett.
Hi.
I'm sure you've heard this probably raised before, and I know this is pre your administration, but I was calling about this curbside recycling program that I understand we're under some sort of contract for where we have to pay now to have curbside recycling, which is unlike many other areas of the country. And I just don't feel, that we could really get the average Terre Haute resident involved in recycling while they have to either pay or drive across town with their stuff. I'm wondering, is there any other opportunities for us to either, get into some other kind of contract, or have you looked at that at all?
Yeah, there's a lot of issues in all of that, but specifically on recycling, there's opportunities to work within the existing contract. The previous administration had kind of decided they wanted to add recycling to the component, to the mix, if you will, but weren't really sure of, we just wanted to get something in place. I guess that was the main thing, get that ball rolling. I believe if we can get more and more people to subscribe to that service, we can work within that contract that hopefully someday we can eliminate that cost for recycling and shift the cost back to trash pickup. And I know in other communities, and we've done research too, that you have to buy stickers or things to get rid of your trash, and then the recycling part is picked up for free. We've got to get enough people involved in this, and I know some will say, well, I'll never get involved because I have to pay $5.50. We're trying to just get this thing implemented and get it working at the level. We got about 1,000 people that have signed up, and we're trying to get the system and the bugs worked out of this system, and then we're going to begin to approach that, and we'll be working with Republic Services to work within the contract so that we can shift and get people to be more, give them, a reason to switch over to recycling. There's once again, there's lots of obstacles in the way. They're not horrible things, but just little things that we need to knock out of the way now so people will be encouraged to do that. It's going to take us a while, though. I mean, it's not going to be an overnight thing, but a very valid point, and we've been working through a lot of these issues, and, some of them just aren't real easy to solve overnight.
Right. Can I just, because I do think you touch upon a huge thing, because, for example, myself, I only know a single person who signed up even though we all recycle, and it's because no one wants to pay the fee,
right?
Partly on principle. I've lived in other parts of the country, and everywhere else it was free for recycling, and some had pay for garbage.
Yep.
If we could shift the focus, I think, somehow from away from these jumbo-sized garbages where you're encouraged to throw out everything and anything.
Mm-hmm.
And what if we had smaller garbages and free recycling?
Yep. I mean, that
something
is definitely
like that.
The direction we need to move. And I'm still learning about all this recycling stuff, too, and really getting a feel. We've been talking to a lot of people. It's like, oh, okay, I see what you're thinking and how you're approaching this. And I believe we can make some changes. They're just not going to be real soon here because we've got to get the bugs worked out of just this whole thing. This has been a huge issue. We get about 12 to 15 calls a day about trash and recycling both. And right now we're just getting through the hurdle of the final delivery of all the trash cans and the recycling and just all that stuff. And out of that comes, how can we improve this and get people to do recycling?
Okay, well, I appreciate you looking at this issue. Thank you.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much, Peter. And we have a related question from Doris. Go ahead, Doris.
Hello, Mayor Bennett.
Yes.
We were just questioning if there was, and I heard some of your comments, but we were questioning whether we will ever be able to leave these monstrous trash cans in the alley where they belong.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Do you have any, I mean, Mr. Burke put us in this situation, and there's so many people on my block that are too old, and they're going to have somebody wheel it out to the street with for them.
Right. Well, here's a couple things. There is a lot of misinformation out there, and I want to help with some of this. This is a great point. We have three different sizes of trash cans. We've got the 96, the 65, and the 35. So anybody that wants a smaller can call my office or call Republic. I prefer you call my office and just tell us you want one, two, or three of the smaller ones or whatever, and we'll get that switched out for you. So that makes that part easier. The second part of your question is related to street and alley pickup. We want 100% of it to be in the alleys. We'd prefer that. The problem is the size of the new trucks. They're bigger, taller, longer, and we've got people who have built garages and fences, and their trees are growing into the easement of the city in the alleys, and we can't maneuver down through the alleys. So we're going back. Right now we're at about 90% of what used to be alley pickup is still alley pickup. We're working on the 10% right now to get them switched back to alley, and we're having to do it almost block by block. So we will get a lot of them moved back. There may be some, though, that we might not be able to do that, but it'll be a very small percentage.
Well, may I say that our alley between 37th and 36th on Elm Street is very, very, very clear.
Okay, then that's one we can probably deal with. Let me make note of that. I'm just making note of your address.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Would you call my office, please, and just talk to my folks this afternoon, and we will get that looked at immediately.
Okay, I sure will. Thank you,
okay.
Mr. Bennett.
Thank you.
And thank you so much, Doris. If you have a question, if you would like to call in, the number is 877-285-9348, or you can email mayor@indiana.edu. Okay, on to another topic, Mayor Bennett, riverfront development. Public input is being sought today until 7 p.m. at HNTB Corporation on Wabash Avenue. What are some of the ideas being batted around with this riverfront development?
Well, a lot of different things. And, you know, I haven't been by there yet today, but I've been in contact with all the folks involved with this, and it have been. This has been kind of an ongoing process for years. What makes sense is to hire a consultant to really identify, you know, the uses of these. Instead of trying to dream up the idea and then plug it in, let's find out how we can use, especially the industrial corridor that's on our side, the city side of the river. How can we best use that? Because there are environmental issues down there and lots of different things. And so the ideas that are coming in are things like, you know, people definitely want a trail along the river. They want to be able to ride their bike or walk and see the river. I mean, that's an easy one that everybody seems to adapt to. But they also would like to see some commercial kind of development. See, you know, some restaurants or some residential where you have some folks that are living down by the river. So there's a lot of different ideas that are coming in. And what the consultants are going to do is take all of that and then come back and say, okay, looking at the land use as it is today, what are the opportunities and then what funding sources can we find? And then we'll get more public input later before we make the final decisions. But I think the approach of using area planning and a consultant to work with both the city and the county on both sides of the river is a great approach to this to get the community totally involved in that process.
And the project is being paid for, but for by both the county and the city. What areas along both sides of the river are we really looking at with this?
Well, pretty much the whole area from the north side where 63 comes into town up on the north side of the city all the way down to I-70 on the south side of the city, per se, on both sides of the river, both the county side to the west and the city side to the east.
Okay.
So it's a pretty big area.
Yeah, well, what do you see as the long-reaching goal of this whole project? What are you hoping is going to come out of this?
Well, I'd like to see us keep as much of the property on the tax rolls as we can and have it, you know, producing, you know, some revenues in the way that businesses can be successful and us as a community can reap the benefits of, you know, tax-paying citizens, whether it be commercial or residential. I think that there's a lot of opportunity. There's some good building ground there right up to the river that'll never flood, that would be perfect for, you know, a hotel kind of a thing, or restaurants, or, you know, where ISU's ballpark is up on the north side, NC State University's ball field, recreational kind of things, entertainment venues. You know, it's going to be a long-range plan. These things aren't going to happen overnight. But I think if we can make the area a target where people feel like they can come and invest their money, and then we as a community benefit in lots of different ways from that, that's what should take place there. Yes, there'll be some public space, of course, but there's so much opportunity, especially from 40 south or the middle of Terre Haute, Wabash Avenue 40 down to I-70. That's a very commercially ripe area, where the rest of it's a little bit more remote, a little bit more rural, if you will. And I think if you, once you get the ball rolling on some of these things, and then the development across the river, the wetlands project is taking off that the county's working on, and that's going to be a huge economic boom just from visitors and other people using that recreational facility across on the west side. So, you know, you got to have some catalysts, and I think this plan will help us identify some of those catalysts to really get the ball rolling.
Are you looking at certain communities, certain riverfront communities as a model, or...
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't say that I am personally, but there's staff in our engineering department that have made visits to other locations. The area planning folks are in touch with, you know, other people as related to this planning process. HNTB, you know, is doing the same thing. They're collecting that. I mean, because I've seen a lot of riverfront kinds of things up in Fort Wayne and in Lafayette, both myself and in other communities. And down in Memphis, I was just down there not too long ago and saw kind of what they've done, what they've done in Evansville. A lot of those same ideas would apply. It's just what can we do and what kind of a time frame, and let's put a plan together and begin to implement it.
Okay, great. Well, along with new projects, how is the new multimodal transportation unit on Cherry Street going?
Well, from a parking perspective, it's not, there's not as many people parking in there as we'd like, but of course Indiana State is out. You know, we opened it up after the students all went home, so the parking demand downtown is not as great, and we'll have a better feel for that in August when the students come back. But on the transportation side and the bus side of things, our ridership is up. A lot of it has to do with gas prices, but you know, you can go by there at any time during the day, and there's up to 30 or 40 or 50 people waiting in there during the peak times of the day to ride the buses, and it's very, just a very professional and upscale environment as compared to kind of what we had before. And I really feel like people like it from that perspective. They feel safe in there, or they're under a roof, and that part of it is really taken off and done very well. The parking piece will come then once the students come back.
Was there a real need for more parking, public parking in Terre Haute?
Well, I think in that particular location, you know, you can always be a Monday morning quarterback and say we should have done this or should have done that, but this is a great location for a parking garage. I mean, it's that's where they should have, you know, that's should have been the thinking from the beginning. And this has been a 10 or 12 year project that finally, you know, came to fruition, but it's in a great spot because it can serve Holman Center, it can serve the motels downtown, it can serve Indiana State University student and staff population. It's in the right spot, so it'll be successful. The other parking garage paid for itself, so I'm sure that this one will do very well in the long run.
Okay, great. Well, looking back on the flooding in June, I was just reading a story about some families that are still not back in their homes. Some are living in campers and Hawthorne Park and that kind of thing. How is the cleanup going?
Well, in the city, you know, we didn't get hit as hard because our infrastructure handled most of what it needed to handle. And, you know, we had some flooding of some apartment buildings and things, and most of those folks got relocated in other buildings that the owners had or something along those lines. People whose houses, you know, had damage of varying degrees, we didn't have much of that in the city. Most of it was out into the county. And so from a cleanup perspective, people are still dealing with it, of course, but, you know, we've got all the debris picked up within the city, and we've also assisted the county in a couple of subdivisions, and we continue to go out and pick up all the debris and help them with that part of it. You know, the system's working, it's just a little slow, and it's unfortunate that some of these folks, their damages are going to be more than what help they're going to get, and that's kind of where we're getting to, is what's the next step for some of these folks. So we refer people and take calls. It's slowed down now, but trying to get them plugged into the right folks so they can make the kind of decisions they need to do about their future.
Is aid still available to some of these people?
Yes, uh-huh.
Okay.
And they need to, you know, do it quickly. I don't know. I'm not saying there's a specific cutoff, but I know that it's starting to dwindle down where they're getting applications. And you can do it online with FEMA. You can still go down to the community center on South 13th Street, and there's other locations, you know, in other communities too. But the sooner you do that, the better. You should take advantage of this of that. Everybody's paying their federal taxes, and so you know, everybody has a right to ask for help if they want, and they should take advantage of that.
Okay, great. Indiana State University trustees officially named Daniel J. Bradley as ISU's 11th president yesterday. Tell me what you envision of Terre Haute's relationship with ISU.
Well, I think over the past few years that a much more of a relationship has developed. I think it was intentional on both parties to do some positive things, and my goal would be to stay on board with that kind of a thing. I mean, they're the largest employer. They're a huge economic engine within our community. They're right downtown. We need to work together, and there's been about three or four projects we've already been kind of dealing with since I've taken office, things that have kind of started in the past and a couple of new things, and I mean, I can see that trend. Now, when the new president comes on board, I had an opportunity to sit in on some conversations with him, and I'm looking forward to working with him. He seems like a really good guy that has a good business vision, and I'm certain that we'll be able to do lots of positive things, and some of the things that are on the table are very exciting, and we'll just have to get him on board with kind of the things that have been in the planning stages and get them implemented.
Can you tell me briefly what those things are?
Well, I think there's a big push to you know, work with the community. And when I say that, is as an example, they're doing a lot of things with Union Hospital and the Luger Center. There's a lot of connection between the education, the health department, or the health education at ISU and what they're doing up at Union Hospital. There's the business incubator working with Rose Holman and Indiana State University and the city of Terre Haute and other players. There's just a lot of things that make sense that we work together on that you can't just show somebody right now, well, look, here's what we've done today, but it's just right on the cusp of great things. And I think you'll be hearing more and more of those things roll out that are very specific. Right now, they're still, you know, kind of sorting through a lot of that because it's so new.
Was it a positive meeting with the new president? You think that these things will come through?
Oh, yeah. I mean, and looking at his resume and listening to some of the things that he did at Fairmont State University in West Virginia, he's very growth-oriented, as in infrastructure and those kind of things. I mean, it really fits the kind of thinking that we all have around here about how to grow the university, but how to grow it in partnership with the community. And, and they've done a great job over the last, during Lloyd Benjamin's President Benjamin's term, they had a lot of, improvements to their facilities and their new buildings and just lots of things. That the whole campus has taken on a different look. We just need to take that, you know, to the next step, and future people will take it to future steps. And I just think we got to get the plan in place, start implementing, and let the plan continue to be rolled out over time.
Yes, because things have been done in the recent past, and I know that they're looking for more of a tie between ISU, between the campus and the community itself.
Yep, I would envision lots of good stuff.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Mayor Bennett. This has been Ask the Mayor with Terre Haute Mayor Duke Bennett. I am Ann Shea, and join us again next week with Bloomington Mayor Mark Cruzan. Production support for Ask the Mayor comes from the South Dunn Street Project, represented by Brian Lappin Real Estate. For producer Colin Bishop and engineer Michael Pashkash, I'm Ann Shea, and thank you so much for listening.